this is something I think if it had gone to everybody and said, okay, we're going to put in a sewer system and just put it in, that would have been the end of it back in the 70s. And the way this is going, the amount of money involved, the big issue is its cost. People in this community can't afford $300 a month for a septic system, which the designers of such things tell us would make very little difference in the purity of the water supply. So, but mainly that's all I have.
Okay. Yeah. Mr. Sato? Mr. Packard?
I just reiterate that we believe we've proven the questions in front of you, that Mr. Allaby does indeed discharge in violation of the prohibition zone, and the CDO is a proper remedy for that violation.
Okay, that closes.
Mr. Chairman, before you close, I just want to renew the objection regarding Mr. Allaby that he was forced to testify in violation over his Fifth Amendment objection, and just have that noted for the record. And rather than make that objection, if it comes up again with further defendants, I'd like that noted as a continuing objection for the record.
Okay. Now, I didn't think he answered the actual question that was asked.
Did he not? Okay.
No.
Okay.
He did ask. He did answer questions subsequent to that, but not the first one.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
So I take it that you've withdrawn your objection then?
As to Mr. Allaby, yes.
Yeah. Okay. So that'll conclude this part. The board can go into deliberation on this, or we can just go ahead. Well, go ahead.
I have a question. There's a note. There was a remark made about there's two people hospitalized that we did not make any arrangements for.
Yeah,
that's right.
Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I got two. One of them, I believe, is settled.
Okay.
But another one indicated to me that they were had come out of a hospital. They were in physical therapy, and they were going to be home about this time.
Oh, physical. Okay, I see.
They were elderly people. We're going to deal with those once we get to the.
I just want to, just for my own sake, that they weren't in the hospital under dire needs and.
Okay.
Thank you.
What would the board like to do? Go ahead and openly deliberate, or go into closed session, Mr. Richards? Any thoughts on that? It's up to the board, I know.
It's up to the board. The board has the option to go into closed session, deliberate on testimony that has been presented to it. The board would be entitled to have the benefit of Mr. Thomas's advice and mine in its deliberations in closed session. Or the board could choose to deliberate publicly.
Okay.
And either way, it's up to the board to make that determination.
Okay. I'm hearing both Mr. Hausch and Chalcross say they'd like to go into closed session. Is that okay? Fine. Okay, we will do that. All right. And don't know when we would come out.
Can we have a lunch?
At this point.
Can we have a lunch?
Yeah, whenever we finish. So, move to closed session, and we will come back.
Maybe we can tell folks if it goes past noon, then we would break for lunch and not come back before 1 or something like that.
Okay, that makes sense.
So folks aren't just lingering.
Right. Okay, any last questions before we do that? Yes? Why don't you come up here quickly? I know you have already settled, so.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
I
1029?
Yes, sir, 1029. I just think I'm mirroring the opinion of the audience here that we would like a public session for your deliberations, and I just wanted to make note of that for the record.
Okay,
thank you.
All right, we're going to close, and we will be back when we're finished. And I guess if we're not here before 12, we are going to break then between 12 and 1. And are we missing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? We're ready to go. Okay. Folks, please take your seats.
Okay. We're going to complete the deliberation on a portion of this item publicly. We are going to discuss, though, what our findings were on the first part, and that is about whether there is a violation of the alleged basin plan prohibition. And I'll tell you that the board discussed that, and we have found that there is a violation of the basin plan prohibition. In terms of what the board thinks should be done with the cease and desist order and the dates and things of that nature, we spent a lot of time discussing that, and we're probably going to complete that discussion here. We do have some questions for some of the designated parties that will help us in that, in the completion of and resolving that. So let's see, before we have any kind of a vote, I think why don't we kind of discuss any thoughts we want to share with the, for instance, the I think what we would call the liability portion of the issues in front of us, and that would be whether with respect to Mr. Alavi's property, you know, whether we have found that he is discharging or threatening to discharge in violation of the Los Osos Baywood Park prohibition in the basin plan. Dr. Press, do you want to?
Well,
whatever you want to share.
I think that the prohibition is fairly clear. I think that there is a reasonable inference to be drawn from the prima facie evidence that we've been provided. Mr. Alibi resides at in the prohibition zone. He's not hooked up to a community treatment plant. He has not provided any evidence of having some treatment facility that doesn't discharge in the prohibition basin, and so I'm satisfied that the prosecution team has demonstrated that he is in violation of the prohibition.
Okay. Any Mr. Shawcross?
Yeah, just to go into a little more, and I think the reasonable inference, a couple of things that go, Mr. Press alluded to, was, you know, if Mr. Alibi weren't discharging, he didn't bring that as an affirmative defense. I think a reasonable person would have, if they indeed weren't discharging, would have indicated that they weren't discharging, and the also the fact that Mr. Alibi refused to answer the question directly, I think reasonable inferences can also be derived from that. You know, I think all around the reasonable inference is well supported in this case.
Mr. Jeffries or Mr. Hayashi, any thoughts? You concur with that? Mr. Jeffries, any?
No, I agree with my colleagues. I came to the same conclusion that they did, and just because he refused to state that, you know, whether he had a septic tank or not, but it was obvious to me that he had some kind of a discharge, and he's in the prohibition zone, so consequently, this particular CDO is appropriate.
Okay. I you know, concur. I agree with what has been said. I think that Mr. Alibi lives in the prohibition zone. He has admitted that two people live in his property. If there isn't a community system that he's hooked up to and they're living there, they've got to be using water and discharging somewhere on the property. And I think that there is certainly a reasonable inference to be drawn that that is what is occurring. So that, but that
this discussion is not what we spent a lot of time doing anyway. What we spent time doing was looking at the dates in the CDO itself, the deadlines, and kind of debated that. And I think we'll just try to finish that up at this point. And who wants to open that discussion up? Go ahead. Well, Mr. Murphy, you had indicated your last words or something to the effect of you felt the January 1st, 2008 deadline was problematic. Can you share with us your thoughts on what would be a more reasonable date to put in there?
Well, I would focus first on Rob Miller's testimony of this morning. I don't believe that that helps you if you're going to issue an order today. But if you issued an order today and held it in abeyance until such time as the county came up with its critical path schedule, then you could include all of the critical path dates within the order, making sure that the what I've called the safe harbor is available only to the extent that the county not only initiates the project but continues the project meeting the critical path dates going forward. That would be one way that you could have a more practical order. A second would be, frankly, having not studied what the county's plans are, I don't know how many more months are necessary. I do know that a one-month window for a $130 million project seems a bit of a push. So I'm sorry I can't give you more than that. I certainly trust the judgment of the board as to what type of window you think would be appropriate, but it does seem to me that the one-month window is a bit short for a project of that magnitude.
Okay. Well, we did focus really on the language then in Section A1, which reads, in the event that the county is successful in approving a benefits assessment by January 1, 2008, to finance the construction, what would be a reasonable time frame to allow, assuming that they have the vote by sometime in December, to let that process have concluded itself?
And we might want to invite Mr. Albee to, since it is
his order,
to enter in on this.
Right.
Yeah. I mean,
Mr. Albee, do you know what we're focusing on here? It's the kind of the date that the prosecution team has suggested as the date by which the county is supposed to approve a benefits assessment. And they have a January 1, 2008 date in there.
Well, that was 2008?
2008, January 1 of 2008.
Would it be acceptable for Keith Weimer to comment on that?
Well, this is, your individual hearing, so I would rather hear it, from you.
Yeah, that'd be acceptable as long as construction starts by 2010.
So you're saying that
rather than the 2008.
Yeah, rather than the 2008.
So
Saying 2010 instead of 2008?
Yes.
For construction.
Okay. Well, what we're focusing on really is the assessments benefit approval by the county. That's the milestone that the prosecution team has identified is triggering something. And so that's...
Yeah, that doesn't seem like enough time to me.
Okay, and how much time do you think is enough time for that?
Well, that's hard to say because every project we've started so far has never met the time, the time frames.
And this isn't, it's not a time frame for starting construction. It's just for the assessment's benefit. Vote.
Is it possible for me to comment? Because
yes,
we've talked
go ahead.
About this in a lot of detail. That one section was very problematic through the entire settlement process as well as the CDOs. The issue was is that by tying it to the assessment vote at the 2008 date, we didn't want to tie it to that. Putting it in there is fine as just a mention of it. But tying it to as long as construction starts by 2010 is better because then it doesn't encourage people to do on-site systems on their own. And that was the fear, is that if you have that language in there, if the assessment vote fails, that 2008 date is a trigger for people to go their own way. And I don't think that's your intent. And so we were trying very hard to develop language that would indicate that the 2000 date was important, but that the 2010 is, or the 2011, whatever, as long as construction started by 2010, we thought that was a good date. So
okay.
that was a little different way of looking at it, but
all
I think
right.
that it meets the requirement without forcing a vote to.
Right. Okay. It doesn't really answer the question, but let's see what the board wants to do with that.
I think that's problematic because if the assessment district isn't certified or whatever they're approved, in a reasonably near future, then we have to wait till 2010 to do anything.
Right.
And I think the whole point is, our concern is that if there is an indication that the county's project isn't going forward, and I think that assessment vote would indicate that this board needs to somehow be involved in moving to the next step, and I think waiting till 2010 is that's four, you know, 4 years from now or 3 years is not something I would want to wait around for.
Okay. Dr. Kress, you have any thoughts?
Well, yeah, I concur with Mr. Shawcross. It's My approach here has been to think about this issue both differently and similarly to how we think about other treatment community treatment plants throughout our region. We have, in the past, issued milestones for community treatment plants to be either built or upgraded because we wanted some assurance that progress was being made. So the principle of milestones, the principle of progress is an important one. One. Two, I want to remind everybody that this board has never, since 1983, charged a single homeowner a dime or asked them to do a single thing. Not once. No, there has not been any CDO issued against any single individual homeowner since 1983. And what we've had is a situation where for 23 years there have been discharges in the prohibition zone that are illegal, that are harming water quality. For 23 years, this board has patiently waited for something to happen. So another principle that I'm operating on is that there has to be responsibility at some point for water quality. If it's not on individual homeowners and there are no firm milestones, then we will be in a situation where people will always come back and say, well, the assessment district didn't get formed, or the project got litigated, or the project got moved. And you could go on like this for another 30 years, no problem. So I would like to see some responsibility. I'd like to see the buck stop somewhere. And that's why I think CDOs are appropriate. But I also feel that we should be realistic about our first time frame. I thought January 1st, 2008 was not workable. I'm moved by the arguments that the designated parties have been making about that. I think we need some other date. I was thinking that something further out in 2008 as a date at which the county could say we have an approved benefits assessment or a funding mechanism would be a good thing to do. That's a pretty workable plan. But if you want to start having milestones that are construction related beyond 2008, then I think Mr. Shellcross's concerns are really quite valid here. It means that potentially nothing could happen in the next 3 years, and I don't think that's appropriate, not with an issue of this magnitude. So I'd like to see something later out into 2008 as the trigger point that we had in the CDOs.
Well, it sounds like we're going to have to come up with that date.
Yeah. Well,
Jeffries, any thoughts?
Well, I like to move it out to July 1 of 2008, that they have some kind of a funding mechanism in place, whether it's a 218 vote or if they have private financing or whatever.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to disagree slightly with my esteemed colleague. I know it's not polite for junior people to disagree with their wiser elder statesmen. I'm sorry. It pains me. But I would suggest December 1st, 2008, because it takes advantage of election cycles that I think would make it more likely for something productive to happen. So
I would support that date also.
Which date is that?
The December date.
Mr. Shellcross?
Yeah, I would support that date. And and I'm concerned that maybe we can address this in a little bit about how that would affect the settlement agreement. But that's probably not for right now.
Yeah.
That some folks have signed on. I mean, I wouldn't want them to get stuck with a January 2008 date when other folks have a different day.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
If we heard what we heard from everybody that's come before us, I think that December 31st date or 30th date should take care of everything that's out there.
That was December 1st.
December 1st. Yeah, December 1st
date.
2008.
Hey, if we do it on the 31st, we could have a New Year's Eve party.
Yeah, we'll have
Kumbaya. Okay. any other board comments or thoughts on this? I think we can deal afterwards with how to make this retroactive after we complete this.
You're correct. The current issue before the board is issuance of a proposed cease and desist order to Mr. Halliday. If the proposed cease and desist order relaxes conditions that have been accepted by government parties, that's a separate issue.
Okay.
Should we ask the...
Okay. Yeah, any comments by the prosecution team? If the board votes on the and accepts the December 1st, 2008 date.
Do you want to point this out?
I mean,
this is the county's staff report until June. It shows it being done by the end of the year.
We show it. We have a slide from a county staff report that we could put up
show some dates if you're interested.
Can you please toggle that, Harvey? Do you have any?
Is this a slide from the county?
Yes.
This, I'll explain that, Harvey, if you don't mind.
Turn on your mic.
Yes, Matt Thompson with the prosecution team. What is about to be displayed is, bear with me for a second. We've been having problems with this all day. Okay, this is from a staff report by the county staff to the County Board of Supervisors from June of this year, when it was anticipated that Assembly Bill 2701 would be passed. And this was a schedule, the county's anticipated implementation schedule. And is, this,
excuse me, Mr. Thompson, was this included in your documentation? And if so, where?
I don't think that it is included in our master documents list, but it is included in at least one of the designated parties' submittals.
Okay, do you know where? Do you know which submittal it was?
Well, if I,
Exhibit B, number 857.
Okay.
And what this shows, the third category there, the third bold line, the green line with the blue, you can see it says funding authorization, state constitution article, et cetera. It says engineering report, and then Prop 218 election starting in March 2007 and extending into August 2007. This is what the county staff proposed to the Board of Supervisors in June. I'm not sure how this has changed since then, though.
Did the board adopt it? Did they?
This was when the county was asking for, the county staff was asking for the Board of Supervisors' support of Assembly Bill 2701 in concept, prior to Assembly Bill 2701 being passed.
Is this still current, this timeline?
We do not have an updated timeline from the county.
Do you know if the 218 vote is going to be on the March ballot for sure?
Actually,
I was asking you.
Can we clarify that this is a mail-in ballot, so there's no date specified for the election?
So it's not on the March ballot?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. It could happen anytime that the county is ready to do it. In other words, it's not tied to a specific election day.
Right. They don't have a date at the moment.
No.
Okay.
And it is going to be a mail-in ballot?
That's my understanding.
And where does that understanding come from?
From the county?
I can assist the prosecution team. The California Constitution requires it to be a mailed ballot.
Oh, it does.
45 days later, there's a hearing at which all of the property owners are allowed to come and speak, or in the alternative, mail their ballot in. If there's a majority protest, the assessment is denied. If there is not a majority protest, the assessment moves forward, obviously pending any challenge that might occur, which has been one of our considerations.
Okay.
Mr. Murphy, following up on that,
yes, sir.
Is it your understanding that Prop 218 elections have to be exclusively mail ballots, or can they be happen with other scheduled elections, primary or a general?
No, the ballots must be mailed to the registered property owner, so much as the CDOs were done by taking the county assessor's lists and mailing out. It's not a it's not an election of the people residing in the district, but
yeah,
of the properties.
That. No, that part I understand.
Okay.
So
if for example, someone lived in Arizona, they would have to be mailed a ballot.
Right.
And
right. Gotcha. Forgive me, but I don't believe that time frame. I'm just not confident by that very narrow blue band up there. And I think we need to make it, even if it's a mail-in ballot and all the rest of it, I think we need to extend that. I'm willing to entertain different dates, but that to me, it's just...
Well, moving it to using Mr. Jeffrey's time frame of July 1 of 2008, it essentially extended a year beyond what is there and 6 months beyond where it currently is.
Uh-huh.
And because it is not going to be an election the
yeah.
way we thought it might be.
Right.
This means it really can take place in almost any time.
Uh-huh.
And not constrained
yeah,
by...
Yeah, I understand. Yeah.
Yeah. So I would be more in favor of the July 1st date at this point after what I've seen.
I would agree to that, too, now that we understand it is a mail ballot.
I would support that as well.
Okay. Well... there's no more discussion. We can. I'll entertain a motion.
I'll move to accept the staff's the prosecution team's recommendation of a CDO,
okay.
With the date under 1A1 modified change from January 1st to July 1st, 2008.
Second.
Can I ask one question?
What was that?
Yes. Does it also include the modification to include the pumping record from the county?
Good point.
Say that again, Mr. Packer. Does it include
yeah.
the pumping?
Do you wish to modify the proposal to include the certification from the county of pumping that was included
oh, yeah.
in the settlement?
Yeah, that's included. Thank you.
Well, we want to
you mean
use
the form or the date?
Form.
Yeah, the
form.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Right.
Mr. Packer, are you talking about the same language?
The same language that was adopted with the settlement. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
To be consistent.
Yeah. Right.
With respect to the requirement that the report be completed and then sent back to the regional board, and it's the form that's going to be attached to the settlement agreement will be attached to the CDO.
Mr. Chair, I still...
It's the county form.
Can I ask a question, Mr.
Of
Chair?
Of course.
There was some discussion about the type of form that some of the homeowners felt that if they filled out one type of form, they'd have to pay some type of fee, and if they filled out the other type, they'd have maybe not pay any fee. And I have some concerns with that. I do want consistency, and I do want standardization. And I'm happy with either one of the forms. I'm just trying to reduce the cost to the individual. Of course, we just have the one CDO at the present time and the ones that have settled. So I think we need to... of course, there's some unknowns there. We don't know if the contractors would charge... to fill out this individual form.
You don't know.
We don't know.
You don't know. You don't know if they would look
yeah.
at that and they say, that's not what I have, you know, so $85.
We don't have enough information on that.
No.
What I'd be happy with is going ahead with the same language as in the settlement agreement currently,
yep.
and if there's some big problem or if there's some big charge and we can use another form that's less costly, you know, work with staff, give them that information, and we can always change the cease
right.
and desist order, and the settlement agreements yeah. can be changed to reflect those concerns.
Yeah, I agree with Mr. Shellcross.
Okay. So
I have one more point, Mr.
Yes.
Chairman. The cease and desist order includes the same January 1st, 2008 date in paragraph A2, and I would recommend changing that date also.
correct, that should be changed also then to July 1 of 2008. Okay, so we have a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Last questions?
Well, my question, Mr. Chair, was that in the settlement agreements, we changed the dates from 2010 to 2011. And I was, in all my mess of papers up here, I was trying to find if the latest version of the CDO had reflected that date.
It is 2011.
It is 2011. Okay. Yeah. I just want to make sure.
Okay.
We're consistent.
All right. So we have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Motion carries unanimously. All right. Thank you, Mr. Allaby. We will now continue with the second.
Okay. Can I make one more statement?
Sure.
Okay. In the proceedings today, I don't see it on the chart you just showed. There's been no mention of an affordability study. And indirectly, that's what's caused most of our holdups on these sewer projects. They find out what the thing is going to cost, and nobody in the world can afford it. And Mr. Press's statement about having never fined any CDO holders, that's nice to hear, but I'm wondering if any of them had the amount of money hanging over their heads that we have. What happens if the 2008 deadline is missed? And for myself here, I would... you haven't decided as yet whether I'm going to get a CDO or not.
No, we just voted on that.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, we just issued a cease and desist order to you. That's what the vote was.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. I would, just a minute here. I would request that you hold that CDO in abeyance until after the 218 vote and put in the language saying that this item is beyond my control, and I don't want to get fined for a delay by the CSD or the county.
Okay.
Is that acceptable?
Well, we've heard it. We've already had the vote, so nothing else is going to be done with respect to that. And we'll move on now to the next cease and desist order.
I would just like to say I think the language of the cease and desist order actually answers some of your concerns. I think the language of the cease and desist order actually answers some of your concerns.
So, Mr. Chair, before you continue on, you did raise in your last discussion, you raised the issue of the potential effect on the settlement agreement that we brought before you today. And I was hoping it would be permissible that we could change the dates of January 1st, 2008 in the settlement agreement to July 1st, 2008.
Please do.
Yes.
Thank you. I have your authorization.
Yes, you do.
We need to do a vote to...
I was going to recommend that you actually make a motion to that effect and
Mr. Chair, then I would so move that we change the date in the settlement agreement from January 1 of 2008 to July 1 of 2008, all reflected dates.
Can I make a friendly amendment to what Mr. Jeffrey said? It's actually, I think what we're actually doing is accepting the prosecution team's suggested change. Because we're not, it's not our settlement, it's not ours to change. So they've asked us for approval of their proposed change, and so that's
true. It's not our our settlement.
If we can make that friendly amendment.
Yeah,
so moved.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Second the motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. That motion also carries. Okay. We'll go to order number.